drive, and far side Johnny scores! Mark Savard! The Boston Bruins are back in it!
He's made going in on goal, he shoots, he scores!
WSHS Sterling High School Radio with your host Rob Strauss and John Flacco.
And welcome to another edition of the Blue Line right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Rob Strauss alongside John Flacco back after a two-week hiatus. We had a week off.
Yeah, I know.
Baseball.
Playoff
baseball. That will happen. That will happen. When we're back on the Blue Line, we missed probably the end of the conference finals, which are obviously set in place for right now. But we're going to talk about some Stanley Cup finals and some retirements and some other news and notes in the second period. And then some news and a guest speaker next time. But we'll get to that a little bit later on. Let's focus first on the Stanley Cup final and how each team got there. The New Jersey Devils, who back on April 9th, when we did our first show, I'm just saying, they were my dark horse in the Eastern Conference. And now they're in the conference final.
But you don't have that queued up?
Final. I don't. I should have that queued up. That's poor planning on my part. But I can. I'll probably drop it in right about here. Here it is. My dark horse in the Eastern Conference this year, the New Jersey Devils. I like the Devils to go far in the playoffs. How about that? Yeah, the Devils playing the L.A. Kings, who are just on an absolute tear right now. And you have to look at Jonathan Quick as being the reason for that. Yeah, I mean, his goaltending is putting up just ridiculous numbers. I don't know what his numbers are in terms of all-time greatest goaltending performances, but it's very Jaguar-esque from back in – well, actually, when the Devils won the cup, their last cup, back in, I believe it was 03 or 2000. It's 2000. When they won the cup, but Jaguar got the Conn Smythe Trophy for the playoff MVP.
They lost. The Devils, right?
No, the Devils won, but Jaguar got the Conn Smythe Trophy.
No, in 03 I'm talking about.
I don't know. That's a good question. Good question.
To go back and look that up.
We'll have to look that up. But you have to look at it. Both games went to overtime so far, and this series could be either way at this point.
Yeah, you just look at, like you said, the goaltending plays a big part of that. You know, one misplay here or there, and you're talking about a completely different outcome of the game. I think the one thing that you have to look to that gives LA the edge in this is that they're able to find a way to just play these overtime games without any just, you know, paying any attention to the fact that they're in someone else's arena. And they haven't lost an away game in 10 and 0 in the playoffs?
Yeah, 10-0 in the playoffs.
I mean, that's an unbelievable stat for any sport, let alone hockey playoffs.
Yeah, especially like you said, even the playoffs. Can you imagine a team, look at football, for example. You play 16 games, 8 of which are home, 8 of which are away. You imagine going almost, that's a season and a quarter of road games without losing a game. That's unheard of.
Even in, I mean, look at baseball. Imagine you go on a 10-game West Coast road trip. The Phils head out in the West
and not lose any of them.
And not lose one of them. It's unbelievable. And then most of them go to extra innings.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, right? And using all your pitchers up. We'll look at the NBA playoffs this round. No team has won an away game yet.
Yeah. Well,
every team has won all their home games.
It's just the Kings are, I don't know, I don't want to call it destiny at this point, but it's really looking like.
I think it started looking like that in round two.
Yeah, it's a pivotal game tonight. Obviously, game three will be tonight in L.A., and a huge, huge game for the Kings and for the Devils, because if the Kings win, you can pretty much wrap up the Stanley Cup, and if the Devils win, you have a series again. But you're going to have to beat Jonathan Quick, which it seems like if you beat Jonathan Quick, it's on a fluky goal.
Yeah, it seems that. I mean, look at the goal they scored last time with going off the head of a Kings defenseman and
ping-pongs around, yeah. And then just kind of. I thought it was Eliash with the goal, but it was not. They actually credited Volchenkov with the goal. So, you know, it's just they haven't been able to put a good goal past him. And then again, if you look at all the other teams that they've beaten, who really has solved him? Nobody.
No, not at all. I mean, he hasn't. I don't think he's even given up consecutive goals in this entire playoffs. If you go, maybe you go back to the first round, but I mean, his numbers just keep dropping. 1.44 goals against, and a .947 save percentage. I mean, if you're playing 16 games and you're saving 95% of your shots, it really doesn't matter who you have in front of you.
It really doesn't. Yeah. And he's got a good defense in front of him, and you know, it's just I can't figure, nobody can figure this guy out. They really can't, which is a credit to Jonathan Quick. And it's not like this guy came out of nowhere. He was an Olympian. I believe it was he the losing goaltender in the Olympics.
Yes, he was. He wound up playing the majority of the time in the Olympics.
And I would love to know what I don't have the stats up here, but in terms of a series, in a playoff year, if you will, what the all-time record is for stats. And that's something that we could probably look up at, you know, maybe in between the breaks or whatever. But just Jean-Sebastien Jaguar from the Anaheim Ducks, it kind of comes to mind for me because his playoff numbers were just absolutely stellar that one year when they wound up losing the Devils in seven games. But this guy's putting up monster numbers, and you're not seeing a lot of high scoring games here at all.
No, not
They're
at all.
Both 2-1 yeah. games, and not to discredit Martin Brodeur, this guy's 40 years old, on the last year of his contract, and not that that has anything to do with the way he's playing, but is this the last gasp for Marty Brodeur? He's playing out of his mind.
Well, he says no. I mean, he's been asked a question. I think a lot of that is him kind of deflecting attention from himself for the playoffs. He doesn't want him. I don't think he wants to become a focus of, of the playoffs for the team. So he kind of deflected that by saying, "Yeah, I'm going to play no matter what next year," and kind of hope that no one will call him on that, I guess, as time goes on. But you got to think that, especially if they won, that he would look to that. But now, you know, now the way it's going, you don't know how he's going to look at it.
To kind of give you a perspective of how close Jaguar and Jonathan Quick are, you go back to the 2002-03 playoffs when the Ducks lost to the Devils in seven games. A .945 save percentage and a .162 goals against average. And you look at Jonathan Quick, .947 save percentage, so a couple thousandth of a point mm-hmm. better. But Jonathan Quick has a .144 goals against average. And that's just, he's got two shutouts, and Jaguar had five shutouts, which I don't, give or take. I mean,
yeah.
Fine, whatever. But shutouts are definitely hard. He definitely wins in the shutout category, and I don't think there's no way statistically unless, actually there is no way you can get to five shutouts because it's just not going to happen. But he's an unbelievable goaltender, and just playing unbelievable right now. And again, this series could be 1-1. It could be 2-0 Devils. I mean, you look at two overtime games.
Yeah.
This really could be – and this is what you want to see. I would love to know the ratings as well, because now you're talking about a big market in L.A. on the West Coast and a mid at best market.
Well, you got a metropolitan area, but I don't – yeah, like you said, the sort of the home – I don't know how many people in the Northeastern Corridor are watching the Devils, considering how many other different teams there are around here. So, you know, if you had a team like New York, where you have a huge following outside of just the people who go to the games, that would be a huge ratings boost. But I think with the Devils, you kind of have a very niche group because of the location, because of the distance from other NHL teams, you know, rivalries and things like that. I don't know how wide of a expanse their home fans or home base is.
It'd be very compelled to see how well they travel out to L.A., how many fans, because I saw a few scattered Kings jerseys there, but maybe those are the diehards that make the trip.
Or the guys that just have
country.
The silver and black left over from the NWA days.
Yeah.
Did they have Gretzky jerseys on?
Yeah, the old Sega Genesis. I thought the Kings of the Cup. Sorry, that's a Swingers reference, the movie Swingers with Jon Favreau and Vince Vaughn, which there was a scene in that film where they were playing Sega Genesis. I think it was NHL 94. One of my favorite scenes of any movie ever, just because any good movie that you can incorporate Sega Genesis hockey into is definitely not a bad film. It's not as much me as it is Roenick. He's good. but it is I'll be interested to see how many Devils jerseys are out there, because there were a few scattered ones. But the one thing I like to see, the Devils filled the Rock. They filled the Rock.
It's about time.
And it took them, you know, to the Stanley Cup final, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was some empty seats that they weren't showing way up top. Because you got to think, how much are the tickets? The tickets are probably astronomically expensive.
Oh, I'm sure.
But that's what you get for going to Stanley Cup Final. The series now shifts to L.A. for two or three. No, two. For two.
Do they do
I think it is two. It goes 2-2-1-1-1, I believe.
Yeah, I think they only do the 2-3-2 in basketball.
Yeah. So it'll shift to L.A. for two games, and the L.A. Kings can wrap up their first ever Stanley Cup. It's hard to believe they didn't win a cup with Gretzky.
They did not. Yeah,
they still had some Montreal Canadiens team.
Yeah,
and who?
Well, they didn't make it to the Cup, right?
Yes, they did, because they beat beat the Leafs in the 93 Western Conference Final.
The Leafs in the West. Now that's going back.
That's
right?
Going back. Old
the Leafs
school.
Were in the West.
It was Gretzky had a hat trick in Game 7. Some guy named Gretzky.
Yes, you know that doesn't happen too often. I mean, that happens
pains
all the time.
Pains me to say that. But if anybody's going to score a hat trick against you, might as well be the greatest player to ever lace them up. Jeff Carter gets the overtime winner, and the Devils just pretty much just let him skate into the zone, skate around, and fired it past Marty Brodeur. And that was a pretty hectic overtime. The overtime, a lot of good chances for both teams. Anze Kopitar gets the OT winner in game one. So now you're looking at a 2-0 hole for the Devils or a 2-0 lead for the Kings, whichever side you decide to sit on that fence. But I think it's been a great – I've watched every minute of it, and I think it's been a great final so far. If you're a hockey purist, if you're a casual hockey fan, you're probably not enjoying this too much.
A quick aside, I mean, I think you really got to be impressed with that the LA's depth at all three lines. Kopitar has just been a monster on that top line. With even though Brown's kind of cooled off as far as points, he's still an effective player on that top line. And lets Kopitar do what he will. And then you have Richardson Carter on the second line. Even Jared Stoll on the third line is just, you know, it's an effective scoring team from top to bottom. I'm a little surprised that the scoring is down. I think that the Devils have done a good job forechecking like they have against all the teams they played in the playoffs, except maybe that first round. But they really have done a great job of keeping the goals down, and I think that's what's kept them in games and allowed them to, you know, snipe. Ilya Kovalchuk took over the points lead overall in the playoffs. Finally, someone other than the Flyer is at the top. They've only played 10 more games than the Flyer.
Devils notoriously are not a very high-scoring team to begin with. I mean, they haven't had I would love to see a statistic that says, hey, the Devils were the highest, one of the in the top 10 in leagues and team scoring.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the time that that's really ever happened. But at the same time, both teams are getting a lot of production out of their not top lines. The fourth line for New Jersey is getting a lot of praise right now. And New Jersey's got a pretty good team. Obviously, they're in the Stanley Cup final, and they've beaten some great teams to get there, and so have the Kings. The Kings are the only team to beat the 1, 2, and 3 seeds and make it to the Stanley Cup final. So they definitely earned where they're at right now. Do the LA Kings sweep the Devils? I don't think so. And we didn't get a chance to do our official predictions on this because of we had to do the boys' playoff baseball game. But if you had said to me 2 months ago, actually about 2 months ago from today, I'm going to take the LA Kings and I'm going to take the New Jersey Devils out of the East. I don't think you'd be too far-fetched to say the Devils. That was my dark horse pick. Just saying.
I mean, they have, what, the third best record overall at the end of the year, or fourth?
The Devils? They were fourth in the Atlantic Division, but only by a point behind the Flyers, rather.
Right. So everybody up there was only a few points off.
Right.
I mean, the Rangers were up there, and then everyone else is kind of, there's a bunch of teams bunched right behind them. So you can say, arguably, they were maybe the second best team going into the playoffs out of the East. So that wouldn't be too stretch. But yeah, to take the eighth seed and say they're going to beat the top three seeds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did they beat 1, 2, and 3?
They did. No, they did not. They beat
two, right?
Then they beat Phoenix, yeah.
Yeah, so they beat the 1, 2, and 3 seeds.
1, 2, and 3.
Not necessarily the best three teams record-wise in the West, but certainly the top three seeds that were there.
The top three seeds, Vancouver, obviously far and away, being the President's Cup winner, 111 points. They're obviously going to – everybody was expecting Vancouver to just crush L.A., and I think we said the same thing. So that was like the big surprise. And then you have the hangover from, we beat the Canucks, but now we got to face a St. Louis team that scores a ton of goals. And even better yet, doesn't allow a lot. They only allowed 165 goals all season. So their goaltending tandem worked pretty well, but apparently not too well in the conference semis because the Kings absolutely dismantled them. And then you're like, okay, now you have an LA Phoenix. PU, stinky ratings.
Yeah.
And they beat Phoenix in five. Or six. Five? Five.
Five, yeah. Only lost.
That's it.
Two games, right, in playoffs?
So this is a team that is on fire right now. If the schedule allowed it, they would play all their games away because of the way that they're playing on the road. I wonder if their coach – and don't coaches sometimes do this where they put the teams up in a hotel the night before to kind of make it seem like they're on the road still?
Is Sutter doing that?
I don't know.
He's done a couple different old school things. He's an old school coach, so he's done a couple old school things. So maybe it's working for them.
And it'll be a great game tonight. I expect a game three is tonight, 8 o'clock on the NBC Family of Networks. Still waiting for that check with shameless plug for the NHL Family of Networks.
Who've done a great job, by the way, of just covering the playoffs from top to bottom.
The only qualm
I have is these playoffs games, or the finals games are stretched out way too far.
Yeah, and I think that's something we need to talk about a little bit here, just for a few minutes. There was a big gap between the end of the conference finals and the beginning of the cup finals. I think there was like a 4-day gap because the Devils clinched, I believe, on a Friday night against the Rangers in game 6. And game 1 didn't start until Wednesday. So you have Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and obviously Wednesday. It's almost a 5-day gap. Maybe it's an arena conflict. Who knows? I think it's a network issue. I think that they want to put the Stanley Cup Finals in a night where there's not a lot of stuff going on. There's not like America's Got Talent or something like that.
Because they want to put it on the NBC main network. Because all the final games have been on NBC.
Yep.
So when you get to the weekends, the sports weekend, it's not an issue. But those weeknights, they're looking to fill in a small spot in their lineup. And they're not going against their American Idol or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, it looks like the schedule is going to be, for at least for the Cup Finals,
tonight is game three, obviously. The next game after that, I believe, isn't until Thursday, which they're already out in L.A. Like, what's the rush?
And they did the same thing in the Devils game. There was an extra day in between game one and two, both in New Jersey.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just think it kind of – well, here's the official schedule. Wednesday, it's going to go Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, Monday, Wednesday.
Okay, so we're not playing Thursdays or Fridays at all.
Not even a little bit. So Wednesday, June 6th at L.A., Saturday, if necessary, at New Jersey, Monday, June 11th at L.A., and then Wednesday, June 13th. I hope it doesn't go to a Game 7 because you know what June 13th is at 8 o'clock?
That would be graduation.
That's graduation. So let's not go to a Game 7, please. Let's just because I'll be up.
We don't want to miss that one.
No, no.
That would not be good.
Say the names quicker. It's Game 7. Although I would like to see all these, and I think you mentioned this on one of your random posts during the games, if each one of these games would go to an overtime.
All seven games overtime. That would make it. Well, we've got two, and they've both gone overtime. The only difference is LA's won both, so on the road. Just to go back to your goaltending, I got some stats here from
all right, stat boy.
Playoff goaltenders.
Make
here.
It happen.
J.S. Giguere in 2003 posted a goals against of 267, which is nowhere near numbers some other playoff goaltenders have put up. You go back to, and I'm not going all the way back here, but Mike Vernon put up a 1.5 in 97.
Oh, goodness.
Ed Belfour, a 1.26 in 99. Brodeur, a 1.24 in 2000.
But did he win?
No, they lost to Dallas.
How was Giguere in 2003? It was a 2-something?
Yeah, it was a 2.67. I was surprised it was that high. I guess because of the nature of the playoffs.
Is that combined? Regular season and playoffs?
No, that's playoffs. The playoff performance.
Interesting. Because the one I'm looking at has him at a 1.62.
Maybe that is combined. It does say I'm going by just finals.
Oh, Stanley Cup finals.
Just
okay.
The finals.
Okay.
Not the whole entire playoff.
Okay.
Sorry.
Fair enough.
Yes, for just the final itself. His goals against was a little elevated, but he was so phenomenal early in the playoffs.
The one thing that I will never forget about that Stanley Cup final was how the Devils fans booed Giguere for winning the Conn Smythe. I thought those kind of I know you're upset because that's the one at the time that was the one award that Marty Brodeur has never won at the time, but the guy's numbers were ridiculous. How do you I know there's not a lot of Devils hockey purists out there. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
but how do you?
Your parade was in a parking lot for goodness sakes. Come on. You can't be a real hockey team unless you have an actual street to have your parade on.
They are if the Devils win in the last 25 years, name another Eastern Conference team to have three Stanley Cups. You can't.
No.
You can't do it. So you have to think in the last 20 years that they are the closest thing to an Eastern Conference dynasty.
In the last 20 years, yeah. Because you would have to go way back to the Islanders to look at
yeah.
A dynasty.
And you could arguably say the Canadians in the early 90s.
Yeah, but even maybe. Then.
Islanders in the 80s.
The Islanders, yeah. The Islanders in the 80s for sure.
But I'm talking like in the last
right.
20 years, there's nobody that is even close.
No, not at all. Not at all.
So you got to give credit where the credit is due, and that's basically where we're at. So game number three tonight, big game tonight in L.A., and that's going to take us off to our very first break. When we get back from the break, I have some news and notes, some very interesting retirements, and some very interesting news regarding Tim Thomas. And we'll get to the X-Flyer report as well. Mr. Flacco, you're listening to the Blue Line right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. We are back right after this.
If you have cancer, you know someone with cancer, or if you are a caregiver to someone with cancer, Clementine Cancer Support Group may be the place for you to come and share with others and learn how they are handling this life-changing experience. They meet the first Tuesday of each month at 10 a.m. and the third Tuesday of each month at 7 p.m. at the Laurel Hill Bible Church, located at 1260 Blackwood Clementon Road in Clementon, New Jersey. For more information, visit laurelhillbiblechurch.org or call the church office at 856-784-6200.
Sterling High School is currently seeking high school and college students with Red Cross lifeguard certifications who would be interested in working as a lifeguard this spring at Sterling North, also known as the former Voorhees YMCA. Students will be compensated at a rate of $10 an hour. Interested students should submit an application, which is available in the general office at Sterling High School during the hours of 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. or call 856-784-1287. That's 856-784-1287.
Right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio, Rob Strauss, alongside John Flacco again for the next to final installment of the Blue Line right here on Sterling High School Radio. The second period now, and heading over to some news and notes, and probably the most notable one happened yesterday, Sunday afternoon. Came across that the Bruins' Tim Thomas is going to confirm that he's going to take the entire next year off. Now, the entire NHL might be taking the year off because of the pending CBA issues, but right now, should hockey play, Tim Thomas will not be a part of it, and he confirmed that on his Facebook page, and this was his statement. He said, "From the earliest age I can remember, I've wanted to be a hockey player. I've been blessed in my life not only to be able to live that dream, but be able to achieve more than I ever thought possible. The single-minded focus that is necessary to accomplish a dream of this magnitude entails sacrifice in other areas and relationships in life. At the age of 38, I believe it is time for me to put my time and energies into those areas and relationships that I have neglected. That is why at this time I feel the most important thing I can do in my life is to reconnect with the three Fs, friends, family, and faith." Mr. Flacco, your thoughts on Tim Thomas?
I'm not a huge Tim Thomas fan.
Well, for obvious reasons.
For many reasons, not just because he plays for the Bruins. I think Tim Thomas has kind of got this inflated image of himself in the past couple of years, and you know, partially due to how the press perceives him for the run that the Bruins made a couple of years ago. I mean, you look at his overall numbers. His regular season save percentage is a .921. I don't know how that fits all time, but that's 2.48 goals against is pretty good, but save percentage is not terrific. I mean, you look at the time the guy spent in the actual league; it's not really a whole lot of time. So, granted, he's been around a while, but he hasn't played a lot of NHL games. I think where is total? He's played a total of 378 NHL games. Which is not, you know, for a career goaltender, that's not a lot of games. You know, I like you said, that maybe with a shutdown of the league coming because of the no CBA right now, that might be the way he's thinking. Or maybe he's just, you know, maybe that's just a ploy on his part. Maybe he's trying to be smart about it and just, get people on his side to get things the way he wants them. I think he has to be that way considering who his backup is.
Tuukka Rask.
Yeah. I mean, Boston is, you know, they have to hold all the cards there because they can always turn around and say, well, this guy did it before just like you did. We're not going to pay you the ransom of the team or not be able to play our young guys because we were stuck with a long-term contract with this guy at the age that he is.
Well, he does have 1 year left on his current deal, which is going to carry a $5 million cap hit for next season. The no-movement clause that is part of that deal expires July 1st.
Yeah. He's 38 years old. He's not a young goaltender.
Look, I'm not going to knock a guy. And we're both family guys. We both have families. I'm not going to knock a guy at 38 years old for hanging it up for a year and
just to be with your family. That's a tough life. I mean, you're traveling, you're dedicating 10, 11 months out of the year to traveling around and, you know, maintain. But if that's, you're also getting paid $5 million a year to do it. But at the same time, those are years you don't get back with your kids, with your wife, your family. But again, you're also getting paid $5 million a year to do that. So
and you don't have to do it until you retire at 65 like we do.
Very true. Very true. And Tim Thomas had a very good season. Just some notable things. Won the 2009 and 2011 Vezina Trophy, Conn Smythe Trophy in 2011, and obviously the Stanley Cup Championship in 2011. And they're saying that Boston's backup, Tuukka Rask, becomes a restricted free agent on July 1st. Not that many people are going to be, you know, knocking down the door to get to Tuukka Rask, but the Bruins intend on re-signing him. Just to let you know, Tuukka Rask went 11-8-3 with a 2.05 and a 9.29 save percentage. So, Tuukka Rask said at the end of this little statement here, he said, quote, "What does this portend for the future? We'll see. God's will be done." So,
it's more like the owner's will be done.
So, I'm not going to knock the guy. I'm not going to. It's if he was 28 and made this move, I would kind of question it a little bit. But he's 38 years old. Maybe he feels that he's the best of his career is behind him. Maybe he takes a year off and comes back better and pulls a Marty Brodeur and gets the Bruins to a Stanley Cup final. Who knows?
Hasek's out there talking about coming back, and he's, 47?
Oh, God.
He's talking about it.
No, he's
serious.
Not.
Oh, yeah.
Are you kidding me? Where did you read this?
Heard that the other night on NHL Network. At 47, Hasek is seriously considering trying to come back again. I don't think any team will take a chance on a 47-year-old goaltender, but, you know, stranger things have happened.
Speaking of people that are retiring, Red Wings defenseman, Hall of Fame, Norris Trophy winner, number one fantasy defenseman, all-star pick on everybody's roster, Nick Lidstrom, finally calls it a career with the Detroit Red Wings earlier last week, or later last week. So he's going to hang it up. Lidstrom, just an unbelievable career for him, and it's going to leave a very, very big hole for the Red Wings on defense there, and he was obviously their mainstay back there on that blue line, and that's almost as big, and I don't want to compare the two, but it's kind of like the Flyers losing Chris Pronger, almost.
Yeah.
You would have to think that those are two comparable names. I think Lidstrom's got a bit of an edge on Chris Pronger, but I think him hanging it up is...
Well, the longevity alone, Lidstrom, I mean, you look at his career numbers... I don't think he had any significant injuries. I mean, this year was the least amount of games he's played in his career. He played 70 games, and that's not a small number. You look at the other games.
You're missing two games a month, roughly.
I mean, that's starting from 91. I mean, that's an amazing. I take
has
that back.
Has he played his whole career with Detroit?
He has. 94-95, he only played 43 games, but that was one.
Well, that was a strike-shortened season.
You're right. That was a strike season. So, yes, he hasn't played without a significant injury his whole entire career. And you look at his playoff numbers from 91 to 2012, they're all, I mean, there's no breaks in between, obviously, because Detroit makes the playoffs every single year.
I can't remember a season where they didn't make the playoffs.
They haven't missed since 91. I think that was...
That makes me want to throw up.
Yzerman's second year in the league, third year in the league, something like that. Yeah, ever since... Bowman got there and stuck Yzerman, slapped the C on his shirt as a rookie. They haven't looked back.
It makes me so mad as a Leafs fan that they haven't made the postseason since 91.
Now I saw this. I was going to send it to you, but I thought at the time it was not appropriate to do it. But I saw a list of the worst franchises in sports,
there we go.
And of course. They were not at the top.
But close enough
top
to
five.
Be. Sure.
Top five.
I pick the winners to cheer for.
Whatever. Yeah, I think I can't remember who the top one was. It might have been like the Clippers. I'm not Cubs. The Clippers. It was the Golden State Warriors, I think, were the worst. Something like that.
Whatever.
The Clippers were up there, too. Only until recently they've had a decent team.
So
yeah, the Cubs were.
The Cubbies are probably up there
Cubs
somewhere.
Are up there, too.
But Detroit is going to have a really, really big hole to fill. And in terms of production, he had one of his lower numbered production seasons. So he had 11 goals and 23 assists for 34 points, but he was a plus 21.
That's amazing.
Which is amazing, especially at his age. But some of his numbers over the course of his career are just absolutely unbelievable for a goaltender. I believe his best season was 99-2000, which is, did they win the Cup that year?
Yeah.
Or was that the Devils? That was the Devils that won that year.
Oh, that was two. Yeah. They won the previous year against Eric Lindro.
Oh. Five. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Swept them before.
No, that was 97.
Was that 97?
I believe it was. But his numbers in that, just
the
regular
season. You're right. It wasn't 99. It was 97.
Yeah. 20 goals, 53 assists for 73 points as a defenseman. And that's just, that's numbers that forwards try and put up.
Yeah.
So if you're getting 73 points out of a,
and still
out of a blue liner.
Still plus 19.
Yeah. On top of that. And, by the way, I only missed one game. Which is probably the last regular season game, if I had to venture a guess. So Nick Lidstrom's going to hang it up. He is 42 years old, and he's not going to pull a Chris Chelios and play for another 4 or 5 years. He's actually
going to go back to Sweden, coaches. I think he's got like 3 kids, and they're all prospects.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Shocking. I also did hear that in some capacity they're going to have Nick Lidstrom as a part of the team, whether he's a scout, he's international coach or something like that. Yeah. He's going to be involved in the team in some capacity.
I'm sure he can funnel some nice NHL caliber Swedes to them.
That's a great draw, having him saying, hey, I'm from the Detroit Red Wings. You may have heard of me. I've only won 7 Norris trophies. And what, do you have 4 Stanley Cups?
Does he have 4? I don't have it in front of me.
The fact that they have 4... And they haven't missed the playoffs since 91, and Toronto hasn't made the playoffs. Oh, never mind. I don't want to get into that. I'm not going to go there. Speaking of teams that aren't in the playoffs, just some injury notes here. 2 injury notes. The first one from your New York Rangers, your favorite team on the planet there, Flacco. Marian Gaborik is going to be getting some surgery done on a torn labrum in his shoulder, so he's going to miss. I don't think he's going to miss any time. I didn't see how much time he's actually going to miss, but that would have something to do with the fact of why he didn't produce as much as they would have liked.
You would think in normal circumstances you give him a pass on that, but with his history of his performance in the playoffs and showing up for his team, I don't know how much that really had to do with it. I think he it's not like he was playing well and then all of a sudden he disappeared. He was pretty much the same throughout the playoffs. So I don't know if you can blame injury on his performance at all.
I kind of feel bad for the Rangers. They had a really, really good team.
I never
year.
Feel bad for the Rangers.
I know you don't.
Lose.
I know you don't. But he had 11 points in the playoffs. Took
as well he should. I mean, that's his role on that team, to be the sniper, to be score playoff goals.
True. But he is going to miss some time now because of a torn labrum. And another interesting note in terms of injuries, somebody that's back from injury, so it's got to be on either the Kings or the Devils. Simone Gagné is cleared from his concussion. He's missed every game since, I believe, the end of December because of a concussion. He is now medically cleared to play, and Mr. Sutter not putting him into the lineup, and you know what? I wouldn't touch it either. I wouldn't go anywhere near that guy and start juggling lines up just to put a guy into the lineup. But here's a guy that is a proven goal scorer, bounced around after he went at, I think, where did he go, to Tampa? Went to Tampa after.
Went to Tampa.
And then wound up on the Kings, with otherwise known as Flyers West. And
it's become that, hasn't it?
Had a concussion. I think he had 10, 11 points between the beginning of this current season and his injury. So he was producing.
had the concussion and put him out for roughly about 6 months. Now he's back, and now he's not being able to find his way into the lineup.
Yeah, I think that with the history of concussions that he's had, I'm not surprised Sutter's reluctant to insert him in the lineup. I mean, you've had these guys, they've lost two games. Like you said, like we said earlier, they're getting scoring and production from every line on that team. So moving a guy in, even though he's probably better than five or six forwards
right
on that team, you know, that just changes the chemistry of that team. I mean, we talked about the chemistry of the Penguins without Crosby, right? You put him back in the lineup. It changes the lineups from top to bottom. The guys have to play with each other now, have to play with each other. It just changes the way things are.
And it's you don't want to mess up the chemistry at this point. You've only lost two games in the playoffs so far. Why would you want to mess up any of the chemistry? Like you said, there's really no point. I wouldn't mess with it.
No, if you get to a point where you hit a lull and you can't score some goals and you lose a game or two, then maybe you mix it up. But other than that, I don't think you change anything at all.
I wouldn't either. Just leave it alone. Let it go. Nice segue to your X-Flyer report. The X-Flyer report brought to you by Sterling High School's John Flacco and the and the science department. The quickly dwindling X-Flyer report.
Yeah, you know, in the beginning, we looked at the numbers here, and obvious with the Kings going as far as they have, they lead the top of the X-Flyers report. We have a nice bunching at the top now with Williams with 12 points, Mike Richards with 11, and that Jeff Carter now with 10 points. Carter contributing to having more goals now than any of the X-Flyers in the entire playoffs. He has 5 goals and 5 assists.
Look at him go.
Yeah, he's just...
Look at him go.
He's a dervish.
Are you upset that the Kings are and Flyers West are 2 games away from hoisting the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm upset.
These two guys were on your roster this time last year.
I think I liked it better when I thought that Richards and Carter weren't contributing a major role into the winning. But yeah, when Jeff Carter scores a hat trick and then he scores an overtime goal to win your 10th straight road game, that's a dagger. You know, especially he's a guy who didn't show up in the playoffs when he had the orange and black on. Now he's just wearing black and silver. You know,
and he's hoisting a 35-pound silver cup.
Yeah. You know, I think with as much as I did not like Mike Richards, I think he deserves the accolades and the recognition he's getting for doing what he did on the Kings. But Carter just, like, went to Columbus and whined like a baby.
But look where you're going.
And then he, well, you know, got himself traded to a contender, playoff team anyway. And, you know, I'm happy for Justin Williams. I'm happy for
Justin Williams hasn't been a Flyer
in a long time. Yeah.
A long time. It's just ironic that the Flyers traded him away and then they won a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, for them to trade both of them this past offseason and both of them wind up with the same team, even though they weren't traded to the same team, and then in the finals with the, you know, 2 games away from winning it all, it's ironic. But, you know, I look at the alternative is, which one's going to leave a more lasting wound? The fact that Mike Richards has a cup or the fact that the Devils beat us again? I think I'd rather see the Kings hoist a cup. I really do.
Wow.
It's the lesser of two evils for me.
That's I don't know. I would love to be a fly on the wall in
Holmgren's office.
Holmgren's office watching the Stanley Cup final.
You know it eats him the worst. He's the one that's just eating him away.
Oh, it's got to be killing him.
Yeah.
It's got to be killing him. But it was a risky move. We knew at the end of last season when the Flyers lost to – who did they lose to?
Boston.
When they lost to Boston, they got crushed by Boston.
Yeah, Boston
crushed
destroyed them. They weren't in any of those games.
No. They lose to Boston in 4 games, I believe. They got – I don't think they took
one. They won one game.
They
early.
Got one?
Yeah, they won one game. I think it may have been an overtime game. But they weren't in any of the other games at all.
So they kind of pulled the New Jersey Devils.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing. So you knew that it was either going to be Carter or Richards were going to go. I know where I was, and I know exactly I was at a stoplight on Black Horse Pike, and I heard it on the radio, and I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. They did what? Because they did one right after the other.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, my God, what are you thinking? And I think that's what everybody's saying, but bold move. And I think down the road, I think that's a good move for them.
Well, you got to look
at right now.
Yeah.
I think right now it's
you look at the young guys they have on this team.
Still a little fresh right now.
They're not going to be going anywhere. You didn't trade them away for a veteran guy. You've taken a one shot trying to win it right away. You trade them for talent.
You got Voracek for Carter, and a first round draft pick and a third round draft pick from Jeff Carter.
Right.
So you've got some picks there. Again, first-round draft picks, or I think draft picks in the NHL, unless you are an Alex Ovechkin, a Sidney Crosby, those don't materialize for two or three or four or more years down the road. It's not like the NFL,
right,
or it's not like the NBA, where
and those guys are 18.
Most likely those guys. It's a lot like baseball in that aspect, where if you're picked in the first round in baseball, you still have to go from the taking buses to go to games in like podunk nowhere for a number of years. I think the same thing applies in the NHL, where it's great that you're a second round pick, but guess what? You may not get a sniff in the NHL for another three or four more years.
Yeah. You got to pay your dues in whatever junior league you're playing in, or
and you
got to
hope the 12 guys in front of you all get injured.
That's true. Well, that's happened too.
A lot of it's luck. Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Not to mix NHL and NFL, but it's kind of the same.
And he was behind a guy who was pretty good.
Indeed. Very, very true. So Jeff Carter, Mike Richards, Simone Gagné, Justin Williams,
and
Ron Hextall.
I was going to say President Ron Hextall.
Ron Hextall could all be hoisting the Stanley Cup by our next broadcast.
Well, of all of them, the one who deserves it the most is Ron Hextall. I mean, that guy played his heart out in the NHL and never won anything. Well, he won a Conn Smythe.
One of the only people to, speaking of goaltenders that, or team people that lose the Stanley Cup final but win another trophy, you get like the consolation prize. Thanks for playing. But I'm not mad at all at the way that this team, I think the Flyers have they got a lot of young talent, like you said. Future's looking pretty bright if they can figure out their goaltending situation. If Briz can kind of get it figured out in the first year, getting the first year of the Philadelphia media and the Philadelphia fan base underneath his belt, I think he'll be okay. So I think it'll be an interesting season for the Flyers next year on how if it was just kind of like a one-hit wonder for them, or if it's, you know, is it going to work?
Yeah.
Is that move for Carter and Richards, is it going to pay off, or is it one of those things that may – right now I think it's kind of a worst-case scenario for them. You lose to the Devils. Like you said, you lose to the Devils. I don't know who's – I'd say the Rangers are probably a bigger rival than – or even Pittsburgh. In that tier of Atlantic Division rivals, I think the Devils are a distant third.
Yeah,
I think it goes Pittsburgh.
Because they beat up on the Devils the past couple years.
It goes Pittsburgh 1 and 2.
Right.
The Rangers 3, and then the Devils – four. The Islanders are so insignificant that it doesn't even really matter. But now there's a rivalry in there, and the Devils have owned the Flyers in the playoffs
forever,
with the exception of 1 year.
Yes,
1 year they didn't really have it. One last thing to talk about in the end as we wind down the second period here, and to get on a kind of a video game note here. And EA Sports is doing something very, very different this year. And they are having a vote for the cover on their cover of the NHL 13, which is going to be announced, or which will be released on September 11th of this year. They did this like bracket style voting, and it kind of came out late April. And they put all the top players from around the league, and they put them
in a bracket, and they had the fans vote on who should advance. Now, I love this. I think this is great. I think this is hysterical. First round, give you an example. Claude Giroux, the one seed. Here are your one seeds. Your one seeds are Claude Giroux and Pavel Datsyuk. They put them on opposite sides of the bracket. So Claude Giroux versus P.K. Subban. And that's just a slam dunk. Scotty Hartnell.
How does P.K. Subban get on that list? That's what I want to know.
You have to have some type of Canadian representation because there's not another.
That's right.
Other than Eric Karlsson, there's
it's the
no
Canadian
other,
bias.
Yeah, there's no other Canadian team on there. So you have Claude Giroux versus P.K. Subban. Scott Hartnell on the same side of the bracket as Claude Giroux going up against Tyler Seguin of the Bruins. Malkin against Stamkos as your 3-6. And Stamkos was on the cover this past year, so yeah. You're not going to put him through. Anssi Kopitar, which is now looking like a really strong pick, but he lost in the first round to David Perrin.
Yeah, I think, well, most people didn't know who. If you did that vote again now, I bet you Anssi Kopitar is in the same spot as.
Especially if he keeps scoring OT game winners in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
Claude Giroux goes in the second round and takes on Anssi Kopitar, beats Anssi Kopitar. Now he's in the finals with Pekka Rinne. What?
Yeah, I don't.
Pekka Rinne? Here's Pekka Rinne's travel to the championship matchup to be on the cover of NHL 13. Here you go. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Pekka Rinne's a 3 seed. EA Sports put him at a 3 seed against Patrick Sharp.
Patrick Sharp. Oh, Sharp didn't have a great season.
X-Flyer report. Just put him in there.
He didn't have a great season, though.
No. So Pekka Rinne, and here's the more compelling one. He goes into the second round against Henrik Lundqvist, the guy who's going to win the Vezina Trophy.
Where are the New York people? And to see New York has dropped the ball, and they're too busy paying attention to something, to like the Knicks or something. Because how do you let Pekka Rinne beat your goaltender?
Here's an even take that. You're already flabbergasted by that. Now you have going to the semifinals or to the finals of whatever that round is on the right side of the bracket. Pekka Rinne goes up against John Tavares, who beat out Jordan Eberle in the first round and Pavel Datsyuk in the second round. Now you have a Pekka Rinne, John Tavares.
I'm surprised.
Tavares is good, though.
He is a good player.
But I don't think he's cover worthy.
No. I mean,
with all due respect,
Pavel Datsyuk is more cover worthy than Tavares.
Ugh. So now you have Claude Giroux versus Pekka Rinne, and that goes until today, I think, is the end of the voting. And who do you. Is it a curse? Is it the Madden curse?
How do you?
Because Stamkos was on the cover and he had an amazing year this year.
I don't know. I can't.
How is Pekka Rinne?
There's a Pekka Rinne bias, I guess. I don't know. Or maybe there's a Pekka Rinne fan club that's someone hacked into the NHL website and added votes for him. I don't know.
It's just like a.
Do most people in the United States even know who Pekka Rinne is?
Let's do this. I want to do this today in school. Let's do this. And on the next Blue Line, we'll talk about this. I want you to take a poll of all of your students in all of your classes and say, write down who you think, what does Pekka Rinne do? So now you have Claude Giroux going up against Pekka Rinne in the NHL 13.
Go Claude.
Claude Giroux. I'm going to make a prediction and say that Claude Giroux brings it home.
I hope so.
I know you hope so because you'll buy. Do you partake in.
I haven't
NHL
played
13?
NHL in a few years.
You got to get on board, buddy.
I mean, back in the day, I was all over that, but I haven't played in a while.
You see,
I only have a Wii in my house, though. So.
No, you got to get on board. You got to make that happen.
I got to get a system, I guess.
You got to make that happen.
To play NHL.
Get on board. That's going to wrap up the second period. We're going to get off to our final break of the segment. When we get back from the break, we have a huge announcement coming to us on the Blue Line. You're listening to the Blue Line right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. We are back for the third period, an abbreviated third period, right after this.
Here we go. Come with me.
Come join the local youth every Sunday night at Stratford United Methodist Church on the corner of Union and Central Avs. The youth group is a rapidly growing group, and they would love to have you. The group consists of 7th to 12th graders and meets every Sunday night from 7 to 9 at the church. Come join us weekly for crazy games, live music, biblical life lessons, and some great snacks. Join now so you don't miss out on upcoming camping trips, scavenger hunts, swim parties, and more. For more information, contact Stratford Church at 784-9135 or Jared Claiborne at 856-287-0717.
Man, there's nothing good on the radio anymore. It's the same thing on every station.
Hey, not every station's like that. I just started following At Nights Radio on Twitter. They tweet news about the Sterling community and they have their own radio station.
But what makes them different?
Well, the whole station is run by students.
That's awesome, and I love Twitter. I'm going to go follow At Nights Radio right now.
Follow At Nights Radio on Twitter to receive news about sports, music, and everything Sterling.
And welcome back to the Blue Line right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Rob Strauss alongside John Flacco here for a very, very shortened period. We went too long on the second period.
Too much Pecorine talk.
Way too much Pecorine talk. Just a quick plug here for the show. We have this show obviously going to air today, June 4th at 6 p.m. and tomorrow at 6 p.m. Don't want to interfere with any NHL Stanley Cup final pregame or anything like that. Our final show will be next Monday, the 11th. We'll be the 11th, and we have a very, very big announcement to make. We've been kind of working on this for the last couple of weeks, but special guest Flyers radio play-by-play announcer Tim Saunders will be joining us for our entire podcast. The NHL Stanley Cup final may be done and spoken for, but Tim Saunders, the radio voice of the Philadelphia Flyers, is going to be joining us, and it's going to be huge.
Also voice of the Camden River Sharks.
And also the voice of the Camden River Sharks baseball team, going to be coming in and podcasting with some jam with us.
Yeah, we can pick his brain about how he feels about that Laviolette quote and what it did for his for our Flyers and his team.
Yeah,
we could also pick his brain about the inner workings of the general manager, the coach, and how they feel the season went and what they're going to be doing moving forward. Maybe get a little insight into.
I also would like to see what the life is like of an NHL radio guy. Like, you know, traveling with the team and getting to go to all these arenas. And it's just going to be a great, great session. So please tune in for that. You can take a listen to us on the Sterling High School website. Just scroll down on the left side of the page, and you'll see the logo there. Just click on the logo, and it'll stream right there for you. Also, speaking of plugs and promotions, feel free to follow us on Twitter at Knights Radio. That's Knights Radio on Twitter. Stay tuned for basically everything that's happening here on Sterling High School Radio. We just did some boys playoff baseball and some more off-site events going to be coming up next year as the school year comes to a close. We're doing all the away football games right here on Sterling High School Radio, so that's going to be huge. Also, some select other events, both athletically and also in the arts and some other great stuff. We did the Battle of the Bands this year. We also did the holiday concert, so a lot of good stuff happening here on Sterling High School Radio. You can also shoot us an email if you want anything to be heard. You have any questions you want to ask us? You know, ask Tim Saunders something. Shoot us an email. We'll get an email bag going and we'll shoot him some questions. WSHS.radio@gmail.com. And that's going to before we sign off, we got a couple minutes left over here. Other than Tim Saunders next week on the 11th, which is going to be humongous. We'd like to thank Tim ahead of time for coming in. Predictions for tonight and for the series, because we didn't get to do this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I think the
it's kind of a biased prediction because the Kings are already two games in. But like we said, this could have gone either way because it could be 2-0 Devils. It could be 1-1.
Well, we did talk beforehand. And
we did.
You can attest that I did pick the Kings. I think it goes five. I think I see the Devils winning one game and maybe the Kings just not having the experience to close out the Devils. I think the Devils steal a game, but I think I think the overtime winner by Carter was the clincher. That this is
tough
a Kings series to lose, really.
That's a shame because Marty's playing really, really well, and I'd like to see Marty go out with a cup. But we've been doubting the Kings every round that they've been playing in,
And
although we did pick him the last round to make it to the Cup.
Yeah, yeah, I think, but even the first and second rounds, we just kind of said, nope, Kings, we'll spend about 30 seconds talking about the Kings, and then we just kind of moved on. But I think it is time for the Kings to get their due, and it's their turn to lift the Cup, and I think that's what's going to happen. I'm going to pick six games.
Six.
Just because I want to watch more hockey. But I'm really hoping for a longer series, but I don't think that it's going to happen, unfortunately. So that's going to do it for this edition of the Blue Line. I'd like to thank, obviously, John Flacco coming again and giving us some podcast knowledge here, some hockey knowledge.
Tune in next week, Tim Saunders.
Yep, Tim Saunders next week right here on the Blue Line. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch up with you next week. That's Monday the 11th of June, our final broadcast, and Tim Saunders will be our special guest host. Thanks again for listening. Have a great night.